Father God, your word says that we are to learn line upon line, precept upon precept. So we teach chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book. And here we find ourselves after so many years in this exact place, and we pray that every single person that's here gets something tonight that is preordained before the foundation of the world to receive tonight, that opens up a window, opens up a door, opens up a light, turns something on that makes them, makes us, makes me realize you really care about every step we take. And we need you desperately. No doubt about that. Holy Spirit, we invite you in now to teach us the things that we ought to know. Because your word says that we are to study to show ourselves approved, a workman rightly able to divide the word of truth, the whole counsel of God received in this life by the power of the Holy Spirit. For the sake of Christ, in the name of the Father, we pray. Amen. Amen. Chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by it is not wise. I want to ask you a question as if we were going to leave the whole Bible study right here, although we're going to depart. It's just one of those. If you take your car and you take some peroxide and you pour it in the gas tank and it runs really poorly or breaks down, would you do that again? No. Of course not. If you were to let me give you an analogy. Years ago I used to sing in a rock and roll band. And one time before the band went to play a show, I went out to eat and I ate way too much. And I found out the hard way that if you eat too much, your belly is full and it pushes against your esophagus and you can't hold the notes. It's, oh my goodness, it's the worst feeling in the world. Like, I can't sing. I'm never going to eat before I sing again. If you could say to yourself, just one time, all my best decisions were made when I was drunk, you'd think that people would wrap their head around this. Like, do you understand? I wish I had like a cup here and filled it. This is alcohol. This comes in every color of the rainbow, every shade, every bottle shape, everything that they're trying to get you to consume this. They make funny glasses. This is a highball. This is a snifter. This is any way they can get you to drink this stuff. They do it. They have funny names. They have cute. You can drink. This is what's called a martini. This is an appletini. This is a snappletini. You know, anything they can do so that you will make really poor decisions in your life. And here's the craziest thing about it. We are so preconditioned to this condition that we use it as an excuse. Now, in my BC days, when I was just dating this amazing-looking blonde girl that I used to see, we used to get into terrible fights. But that's because we were both drunk. And, you said so-and-so. I was drunk. But you did so. I was drunk. Like, that's the excuse. That's like the card you pull out. I didn't mean it. I was drunk. I love the dual way that this verse goes about explaining it too. When you drink a little wine, you'll mock things. Drink a lot of hard alcohol, you'll fight. Every time I go to a restaurant, the lady comes up to us, "Hey, hi, would you guys like some cocktails first?" And I go, "Oh, the same thing." I always ask my wife, I always say, "You don't want me drunk in this place." Wasn't a big drinker, but I'm a bad drinker. I get even a little buzz, and you can be sure, even at 56 years old, I'm going to get into a fight with somebody. Were you just looking at my wife? How do you disrespect me like that? Just, it's that bad. Now, I hope we're having a little fun with each other, and I hope that somebody here can wrap their head around the deceit and the deception that the enemy has laid for you and just never drink again. Because there's really two kinds of drinkers. People that can drink and stop and people that can drink and can't stop. That's it. I happen to be the first. I never ever had to drink. I could drink a glass of wine, I could drink a beer. As a matter of fact, I drink all the wine and beer that I want. It's been about 15 years, but I don't wanna. Someday I woke up and went, dude, every bad decision, I've nary made a good decision when I was drunk. Do you guys wanna hear a really stupid story? I've told this story from here before, but it's so worth telling again for anybody here. I'm in my mid-20s. My band is playing a club called Washington Square on Washington Avenue in Miami Beach. My band plays the first set. It's about 1 in the morning, and the club owner comes to me and goes, "Bro, great set. The band, the headliner didn't show up. Do you guys want to play again?" So yeah, what time? 3 a.m. Are you kidding me? You guys know what 3 a.m. Miami Beach looks like? Looks like 12 noon in any other busy city. People everywhere. It's packed. Yeah, man, the club's going to be jammed. It's perfect. You never know. Want some? You know, I've played that club before. Bono came to see my band play. I can't even tell you the amount of stars that watched my band play. So he says, "Hey, let me give you a couple of drinks. You know, I don't like to drink before I go. Oh, man, come on." So I drink a couple of shots of what's called amaretto. If you don't know what amaretto is, it's not a hard drink. It's a liqueur, but I use it to soothe my throat from singing, because when I sang, I really didn't sing. I screamed. Good answer. That's a good point. It's not a really manly drink. It's an Italian drink, though. Sit around and drink in Sambuco Amaretto with your Italian friends. Well, this girl walks in to the club and says, "Somebody's holding up the mailbox around the block." There was a gay bar around the corner named The Mailbox. Great name, right? And for some reason, I feel like Superman. I pull my shirt out, I reveal the S on my chest, and I run around to Collins Avenue. And I go to the mailbox. Now, at the mailbox, there was a door, and then a hallway, and then a door that goes inside the bar. So I went over there, and the front door was open. I walked in, and there's this girl standing at the door. And I'll never forget, she had this pouty face. And I was like, "Are you guys being held?" And she goes, and she points, and there's a guy walking up the block with a shotgun in his hand.
Wow.
I'm on it. Again. I run. As I'm in full sprint, I snatch the gun out of his hand. I run up the block. I'm passing was at 8th or 9th. I don't remember what street it was. And I get toward the end of the block, and there's 5 Miami Beach cops, guns drawn. Freeze! Don't move! I throw the gun down. I got him! I got him! Don't worry about it! Right from behind, tackled. Wham! My face hits the ground. I bust it up, and 5 cops are kicking me and beating me and pistol whipping me. And my friend is there. You got the wrong guy. You got the wrong guy. And the cop says, you want some? You're on your own. True story. Still got the scars all over my head to prove it. Got about 30 stitches that night. When they finally stopped beating me up, they found out. One of the cops said to me, do you have any idea how close to getting shot you were? Do you understand? I wasn't even, my finger was on the trigger. And then he says to me, you took the shotgun away from an off-duty police officer.
No.
He already defused the situation and he was taking the gun in. And I will tell you what? Florida man gets shot taking
gun. Here's your sign,
right? So, I guarantee you, because I'm standing up here and I have the microphone, I guarantee you if I started passing this microphone around, well, one time when I was drunk, I did. Now we're having some fun and telling funny stories, right? It weren't no fun at the time. They busted me open. My jaw, I had to be fractured because I couldn't talk for. They took me to jail. They released me that night. I had go to the hospital, get sewn up in 5 different places, all because I had to have a couple of shots of amaretto in between. Needless to say, we didn't do the 3 a.m. show. I beg of you, don't fall for the lie. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is just not wise. Verse 2, the wrath of the king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. When you see people protesting against the government, remember, if you poke that bear enough, let me give you the picture. Again, another picture. My company ships with UPS. We ship with them to the tune of $1.2, $1.5 million a year. That's what we pay them. UPS couldn't care less. We're a flea on their rump. Literally, they will flick you off there. They don't care. They make billions of dollars. And they lose 2 to 4% of your packages. They get lost. Where are they? Don't know. And as soon as you tell them, as soon as they lose your package and they say they don't know, well, you know where my package is? Mechanical failure. I didn't ask you that. We just want to make sure we CYA. Because if they say it's a mechanical failure or an act of God, it was the weather, then they don't have to reimburse you for the shipping that they lost. Well, I'm not going to take that. I'm going to stand up for my right. Because if you make them mad, you know what they say? Ship with somebody else, you know? The government, especially now, you better make sure that you play with these people, you know what you're doing. Because the wrath of this king, there's this woman, there's one of these congresswomen from Georgia, I forget her name, she's got like, huh? What's her name? Marjorie Taylor Greene. She just went and looked at these people that they arrested on January, from January 9th, whatever it is, 6th. Solitary confinement, out for 1 hour a day for the first 3 months, out for 3 hours. This government that we have installed right now, they could care less about your life. Be careful. The wrath of the king is like a roaring of a lion, and whoever provokes it to anger, you sin against your own life. Make sure that the place you plant your flag is a place you're willing to lose your flag. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. I'd say a funny thing happened today. More stories. Lots of stories today. I sent my wife a text, and she called me a pet name. I'm not going to tell you because I know you guys will just cheer. I said, oh, that is the cool. Thank you so much, honey. She said, you used to be the best husband in the world. Now you're the nicest. My wife has never said that. Nobody's ever said that to me. It is honorable for a man to stop fighting. You know why? Any fool can start a fight. You know who can't start a fight? You know who doesn't start a fight? Kind people. Nobody's ever called me kind before. I literally almost cried when she wrote that to me. I'm not kind. I need to be more kind. I want to be at least kind to my wife. I told you, I want to be like the lion from Bugs Bunny. When Bugs Bunny was, when the lion was trying to kill Bugs Bunny, and he gets a phone call, and the king of the jungle, gonna kill. Yes, dear. Okay, honey. And he turns around and looks at Bugs Bunny and says, I can't kill you today, Bugs, but maybe I'll see you tomorrow, okay? All right. Bye, honey. That's how I want to be. I want everybody to think I'm the meanest. And my wife's like, no, my husband isn't the nicest guy in the world. Any fool can start a quarrel. And here's the one thing that having 30-some-odd years of relationship and more than 25 years of marriage affords you, the experience to understand that things aren't always in the realm of the reality that you see, meaning this. A lot of things that I swore were her fault, I'm not so sure they were anymore. Like, you change your mindset, and you're like, did I really... Like, the things that she does now that I find myself in my head getting mad at, it's like, is there a reason you're mad right now? No, that's not like a big deal. It's so weird. You grow. Like, stick around a while. Like, things will change, you know what I mean? If you bolt on every relationship that gets a little tough, you'll never make it. What's that song by that Boy George? Time won't give me time, and time makes the others feel like they have something real. But you and me, baby, we got nothing but time. He's wrong. Time makes it something real. Right? I'm not like a great husband or nothing like that, but I've been with my wife for almost 35 years. Okay? The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. In an agricultural society, you don't plow in winter, you plow in fall. So the lazy man refused to plow in fall to break up the ground, so when the winter comes, now there's ice or snow or whatever on the ground, and now you can't plow. I can't plow, it's winter. And then when harvest comes, you know what he's going to do? He's going to beg. And he'll have nothing. So what's the point there? How do we apply that to our own lives? Do hard things. Do hard things. Jordan Peterson, a genius, who now I welcome him as a brother in Christ as well now, confessing Christ as Lord and having these little preachy messages about the Bible and about the Lord is wonderful to see. Isn't it, Mart? He has this book out called, I believe it's 12 Rules for Life. I highly recommend it to any 20-something. Rule number one, make your bed. can be the hardest thing in the world, but it's the start. Make your bed, man. It's the first thing in the Marine Corps, right? They teach you? Make your bed. It's where it starts. I'm not going to tell you what's going on over here. I'm going to leave him alone. Do hard things, man. Do hard things. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. If you've been here through our study, I talked about that. This is really interesting. You have to be a smart person here, has to be perceptive enough to see somebody who has information, knowledge, or wisdom that you want or need, and you will draw it out. You'll have conversations with them. You'll maybe take them to lunch. Maybe sit down and come here. Remember we talked about this? A man of understanding will find somebody who's got wisdom and knowledge, and you'll draw that out. So, Ryan, you got 30-plus years. How'd you do that? Whew. One day at a time, baby. You ladies, like, you've been with that dude for almost 35 years. Oh, you got to tell me. How did you manage that? You know what the first thing my wife says to people when she say that? When people say that to her, you know what she says? It's never boring. You know what I mean, Mick? Uh-oh. Does this have anything to do with the Bible study? Okay, go ahead. Oh. What does that have to do with the Bible study? God. Oh, I see. So you could be, I see. Somebody has to do it. Okay, all right. Somebody had to be there, Mom. I got it. I'm with you now. Verse 6 is one of my favorite Bible verses to throw at people, especially young men. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Jim Coy, when we first started this church, he came up to me and he goes, Ryan, rule number one, when you finish preaching a message, if somebody walks up to you and says to you, that was the best message I've ever heard, you're an amazing speaker, this is my church, I'm never leaving in here, just look at them and say goodbye. Because you'll never see them again. And I always tell the young pastors the same thing. I always say, listen, don't buy into that. It's the enemy tempting you, thinking that you've done something.
I want to be your next supervisor.
Guys, come. Do me a favor. Just show up tomorrow on time. Try. Everybody will tell you how great they are, but nobody shows up. Did you send me that picture? Who sent me a picture the other day? I talked to the men about it. When I first moved down to Florida, one of the most successful pool businesses that I ever seen was We Show Up Pools. We show up. Because nobody shows up. Pool's notorious. Gate, we have gate, we have a gate at a house. Can't. We'll be there Tuesday. No, you won't. And somebody sent me a picture. Oh, it wasn't AC. Was it? Somebody sent me a picture of a guy. It was said, something, something, AC, we show up. The next day I said, that was funny. Is anybody here that did that? No, nobody's saying. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The level of the spiritual blessing, the physical responsibility, as well as the business that you could give to them. If you have integrity in every area, everything that you give your kids, every reputation you give them, every business you hand off to them, will be blessed for it. He expounds on it later on. A king who sits on the throne of judgment scatters all evil with his eyes. Very interesting. Now remember, this guy was the king of Israel. His father, David, was also the king of Israel. He said, when a king sits on the throne of judgment, he scatters the evil with his eyes, looking around. Now the reason he said that is because kings would start to assign the job to others. It was incumbent upon the king to sit on the throne of judgment and hear the cases. This is how Absalom stole the kingdom from his father. It was said that Absalom, who is the brother to the guy that was here, he would go at the gate and he would listen to, oh, my father David's so busy. If I was king, I'm not king though, I'm sorry, I can't help you. A king who stays, quote unquote, sits on the throne of judgment, he scatters all the evil. He sees it all coming. The questions that people ask, if you want to find out what somebody's about, do something crazy. Just listen to them. Just let them talk. Just let them talk. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? And the answer is, nobody. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Now, this is a commentary on that walking with integrity. Remember we talked about the diverse weights and scales? If you have a scale in your house, you're always asking yourself, is it right? Do you set it? Can you set it to zero, right? No, I set it back. You don't look at it, especially the digital ones, that it's set at like -5 pounds. So you step on it and you go, I'm in good shape. You don't realize your wife set it back because she didn't want you to feel bad about yourself. Well, they did the same thing in biblical times. And before, they'd have a scale. And then on one side, they would have the weights. This is, let's for argument's sake, say a pound. And you put the pound on the one side and the scale would go down. And then you take the wheat, you pour it into a cup and you put it on there. And when it was level, okay, here's a pound of wheat. But what you didn't know is that that weight wasn't really a pound. It was 3/4 of a pound. Now, this is why he's saying, now, obviously, the application for us is, man, you know, you promise to do something for somebody, do it. You want a successful business? Do it right. Don't overpromise and underdeliver. Do something crazy. Show up on time. Like, I talk to young brothers all the time. You know, they want to make more money. I wish I could make more money. Well, I'll tell you how to make more money. Show up to work 15 minutes early. Stay 15 minutes late. Your boss will take notice. Oh, you don't know my boss. No, no, no. I do know your boss. And if you work as unto the Lord, you show up 15 minutes. You show up 3 minutes. You show up. There's what's the old saying? On time is late. That's it. Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. Isn't it the craziest thing? Even kids, like if I mention a kid, you go, oh, yeah, that's a tough, oh, parents are in trouble. Ooh, they're going to have. My granddaughter, Arlen Eleanor, she's a toughie. And when I tell you her parents are doing everything right to forge that kid in the fire of discipline, you might see Austin sometime. He snaps his finger. Now! And you go, whoa, why is he so tough on that kid? Easy, buddy. Listen, spend a day with us. You'll see how good they are. You'll watch and see why we're not letting what looks like could be become. Now, of course, me and my wife led it, but we're the grandparents, not the parents. Honey, you haven't disciplined that child in 6 months. Arlen. Arlen. I almost spanked her once. She looks at me and she goes, "Bob, Bob, I want to be nobody boss. I can't. It melts my heart." And then she says, "Can I have all of them?" And then she says, "Can I eat them all right now?" Did your mother already tell you you can't eat them all right now? She does that. She looks at you. Her mother just told her no to something. So she finds me and she whispers, Can I eat all the peanut butter balls? Why are you whispering? You feeling it? Because even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. This would fall under the heading, if you want to circle the whole verse and next to it write D-U-H. Duh. Listen. In another verse in the book of Psalms, it says, "He who made the eye, don't you think he sees? He who formed the ear, don't you think he hears? You made your brain. He knows what's going on in your mind." I love the first time this ever hit me so deeply was I was listening to a Chris Tomlin song, Amazing God. And at the end of that song, he has a line in that song. He says, "You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same." And until I heard that line in that song, I guess I never thought. I mean, it's got to be a 10-year-old song, right? "You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God." And I remember that and I was like, it moved me. You know, it was like, if the worship music you're listening to doesn't move you, stop listening to it. It's become background noise. You know, you're better off listening to some secular entertaining, because, man, otherwise it hardens your heart to listen to something. Like, there's an old saying, the biggest inoculation against the gospel is the gospel. Like, I've heard it. After a while, you hear it. You keep doing that with songs. Like, it's got to move you, man. It's got to move you. That's why you always got to find a new band. Oh, man. House Fires. Yeah. Oh, I got some. I've listened to all that stuff now. It's not moving me. Okay. I'm like finding myself going back to Terry Clark, you know, 30-year-old music when I first got saved. You know, oh, man, I need movement in my soul, man. "You see the depths of my..." Yes, you do. Oh, man. "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread." 8 hours. Anything more than that, better be careful. You might be sick. You might be, look, if you sleep 9 hours on a Saturday, that's great. Anything more than that, you better be pregnant. Now, here's the thing with that, guys, and this is real. Anything less than 7 hours is not really healthy. The newest studies are people who live... I'm dead serious. You Army, you military guys, you know, that's 4 or 5 hours a night is not good for you. The new studies are you're not sleeping 7-8 hours a day. You're cognizant. What is it?
Leads to cognitive decline.
Yes, it leads to cognitive decline, Drew. That's what's going on. Well, you have me to thank for that. I gave you that woman. "Don't love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, you'll be satisfied with bread." Let me tell you something. When I was away, there were guys that would sleep 15, 16 hours. It's a sign of depression, guys, just so you know. If you're sleeping more than 10, 12 hours, you might have an actual... And that what that will lead to is not just cognitive decline, it will lead to depression as well. Like, My wife, she'll say to me sometimes, honey, are you tired? You look tired. I'm always tired. My whole life is tired. Well, why don't you rest? I can't rest. What is that? I slept last night. You know, I got to just, it's what we do. Oh, man. Like, if I've ever gone to the gym and been like, wow, I just can't wait to get at it. I get to the gym, like, where's your butt? It's back there, I'm dragging it.
I read a good one the other day.
All right.
Don't you wish you could drop your body off like you do in your car and go back and pick it up?
Yeah. Used to make fun of all those, my pastor would say, I can't wait to get my new body. Like, not me. I can't wait to get my new body. One of my favorite verses, I love this verse. It is good for nothing, cries the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts. Somebody who's buying something goes to the marketplace, looks at something that he wants. This is no good. Look, this apple's rotten. It's not. It's good for nothing. Wait. What do you want to give me? It's not good for it. I don't need it. And then when he goes away, quick story. My wife wanted new chairs in the living room, in the dining room. So she does what every good woman does. She goes on OfferUp. And they found these chairs. They have like crocodile skin, $300 a piece. There were six of them. She got the guy down to $1,500 for all of them. Then I took over. Said, I have $1,000 with your name on it. No way, I got a guy showing up in an hour with $1,300. No, you don't. Got $1,000 with your name on it. Didn't hear back from him for an hour, so I texted him back and said, listen, $1,150, that's what you get. Nope, I got him sold already. Okay. 2 weeks. 2 weeks, he texts me back. He goes, hey, you still want those chairs? I said, absolutely, $750. He said, $750? You offered me $1,000. I was like, dude, that was 2 weeks ago. He literally said, I'll rather throw them out. I sent him a picture of $750. 2 days later, come get them. I said to him, I already got chairs. I'm just going to probably put them in a garage and try and sell them myself. It's good for nothing. And we got them. I was like, baby.
Crocodile
skin. Although, honestly, like, who wants crocodile skin in their house except me? You would like the crocodile skin? Well, I'm glad you didn't see the ad then. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Listen, there is a new interview. If you go to YouTube, I want you to pull up Jordan Peterson and John Stossel. John Stossel, the guy from, where was he, 60 Minutes or wherever he was from, he does an interview with Jordan Peterson. You will see Jordan Peterson at his absolute finest now. It is so good. And you listen to this guy talk and you see the knowledge that he has access to because of the experiences in his life up to this point. You're watching, you're like, man, you sure talk sweet, boy. The lips of knowledge, I want to listen to him more because the words he uses, man, why don't I use that in conversation? I wish I could remember that word, man. He uses cool words, foreshadowing. You know, that's just a foreshadowing. And he quotes the Old Testament constantly, right? Did you remember that, Marty? Did you watch that interview yet? He quotes the Old Testament, man, and I just wish I can.
Meekness.
Meekness isn't weakness. He says, as a matter of fact, I don't even like the interpretation of that word. Meekness is, I have guns and strength, and I choose not to use them. So I can, that's good. Yeah, you watched that interview too, bro? Wasn't that amazing? Oh, the guy is so good. Like, he's the guy you watch, and you're like, oh, darn it, that's so good. That's good. That's good stuff. You walk around later on saying to him, man, I keep it sheathed. Oh, that's good stuff, man. Good stuff. Why can't I remember that? This is this verse, man. This is that verse. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take the garment of one who is surety for a stranger and hold it as a pledge when it is for a seductress. That's a really interesting verse, and it has so many different facets to it, but let me explain to you. Let's say there's a guy sitting there, and his name is Don. And Don walks up to me and goes, hey, man, can I borrow money? Well, what do you got to loan me for a pledge? Don't even worry about it. Here's 20 bucks. But then you find out he's using it because he's taking a girl out. Yeah, let me hold your jacket. Let me hold on to it. Because if you're lending him money for something he can make money with, you have a better opportunity. But either way, both of the sides of this are explaining to you, don't be surety for a stranger. Surety, don't lend money to somebody you don't know real well. And if it's for a seductress, if it's for a woman, you better hold on to your pledge because you're probably going to lose it. You see it? You'll never see the dude again. Now, in my neighborhood, we used to say, best 20 bucks I ever spent. When somebody asks you for money and they don't pay you, I got away cheap. 20 bucks to get rid of this guy out of my life? If you give somebody $20 and they don't pay you back 20 bucks, like, you knew what the guy just sold himself for 20. Keep the 20. Don't come around me no more. Best 20 bucks I ever spent. Got that now? Continuing. Now, again, here's the thing with that one. There's a lot of facets to that verse. There's a lot of facets, and I'm just covering the top one. I don't even understand that verse a whole lot. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. You guys understand that? Physically speaking, if you steal something, it feels good. But later on, you're going to regret it. God keeps track of this stuff, man. He really does. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. Again, we've talked about this. Counsel is not getting somebody to say what you want to hear. You know, I was thinking about moving to Tennessee. You got a church there? There's a lot of churches in Tennessee. It's the Bible Belt. You got a job there? Well, my company has a division there. Why are you moving to Tennessee? I feel like it. You mean you met a girl there, right? No. Then you find out he immediately senses, or she immediately senses, that you're not with the program, so she'll find somebody else. I met this really good guy online. He lives in Tennessee. I should move there. And then if you're receiving, they'll find somebody else until somebody says, I would do it. I would move in and say, yes. That's, what's that? You only live once. There you go. I never knew what it meant. I just figured out what FOMO. Fear of missing out. I just figured that out a couple weeks ago. FOMO. Yeah. So please, if you are seeking counsel for a decision that you are looking to make, the counsel that you need is threefold. Number one, first and foremost, it's the Word of God. Have a Bible verse. Second, it's the Spirit of God. I see it in paper. I feel it in spirit. And third, it's the counsel of godly people. Start at the top. Go to your pastor, go to an elder, and stay away from your friends. If you were here on Sunday, we looked at how one of the ways that you use words wisely, we looked at, who did we look at? We looked at Absalom. It was Absalom. And how he listened to his friends on which counsel he should choose. You guys remember that? Turned out to be the death of him and a bunch of other people too, but you got the point. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. When somebody tells you how great and how wonderful you are, they're setting you up. There's an old saying, talk to a man about himself and he'll listen for hours. Talk to a man about yourself and he'll have no time. It's an old Chinese proverb, I believe it was. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. It ain't no joke what the Bible says. The first Bible promise, the first commandment, I'm sorry, with a promise, honor your mother and father that your days may be well with you. Super important. Now, you guys that grew up in homes with broken families or drug addict parents, honoring and loving, honoring and being taken advantage of, honoring and allowing them to hurt you again are two totally different things. But they're your parents, and God wants you to honor them. I told you guys, I've told you the story. You know, for me, when I first left my house in my mid-20s, when I got away from, I moved down here when I was 22, and I had moved out of my house very young, but I still idolized my mother and father. And then when I moved down here, and one of the biggest things that got me to really hate my parents was seeing Richard and Faye, what kind of parents they were. And I was like, the first time you're exposed to what good parents are about, you're like, you're devastated. Like, you were terrible parents. And that happens to a lot of people. And your first propensity is to hate your parents. And when you don't have anybody to reel that in, that resentment, I mean, I didn't talk to my parents for, you know, almost 2 years. And when I got saved and honor your mother and father, the first way I did that was just paying my mother's phone bill. I'm making some money now. Could I just pay your phone bill? I don't need you to pay. And I know you don't need me to. I just want to start a relationship again. I didn't want them to hurt. We couldn't let our kids go there, you know. It's a whole rigmarole, but you that's here, God looks at those sacrifices, and he respects them. And let's just use it literally. F you, I don't need nothing from you. No, you left me when I was a kid. Now you can go, you know, whatever. Or the curse could also be, you know, you just speak ill of them. Or wish bad things on them, for sure. It's so heavy for some because, you know, if you grew up in a really nice home with, you know, two parents and everybody's happy, you don't understand, you have no idea what brokenness is. You don't have any clue. And it's like all the explaining in the world is not going to help you see it. Like, if you're married to somebody and they come from a broken home, they're broken. And they're going to need a lot of understanding. So, yeah, it built new roads with my parents to just start honor. One step at a time. One step at a time, you know. I rarely, unless it really has something to do with the Bible, so I talk about my childhood being so bad anymore. My parents were, for the most part, they were good parents. They did some dumb things, And I don't even talk about it anymore because I don't want to dishonor their memory. No, there's no reason anymore. It's over. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. I mean, obviously, if we had time, I'd go to the story of the two sons, right? A man had two sons. One of them came to him and said, hey, give me my inheritance now. You're not dying fast enough. Paraphrasing, right? And he gave him the money, and what happened? He wasted it all on prodigal living. And then all of a sudden, he finds himself feeding swine pods of vegetable matter. And he said, look, I'm feeding pigs, and I'd fill myself with that thing because I'm so hungry. And my father's servants have enough food. And then the Bible says, and this is my favorite line, when he came to himself, what do you call it? The moment of enlightenment, the breakthrough, the epiphany is another great word. And you go like, what am I doing? I'm going to go home. I'm going to tell my father I'm sorry. Be careful. Yes, my love. Say again. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you can utilize that verse to mean the same thing. I mean, if you want it all in one shot, like some people do that. It's some people work and they only get a paycheck like two or three times a year. In an agricultural society, that was a really big thing, guys. You know what I mean? You didn't make any money in the winter. You had to wait for fall, plow the ground up. Winter, you wait it out. Spring, when it starts to melt, you go out and you seed your field. Summer and late summer, you have your two harvests, and that's when you got to sell everything, make your money, and start the whole thing over again. So if you're not good with money, gain it, you run too fast at it. I don't think that's a bad interpretation, R. Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord and he will save you. I don't think that's a questionable verse there. That's one of the hardest things to learn as you grow up in Christ. Just letting God take care of the hard part, right? So saith the Lord, right? You think about that when you... If you pray in the morning, if you spend any time in prayer and you go through the Our Father, when you get to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, I mean, you want to hear the worst verse in the entire Bible? If you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. I hate that verse. Oh. You gotta go through your mind. You gotta go through the list of people that wronged you and try to like find the chambers of your heart where you've hid them. Because your brain will hide enemies in chambers of your heart just so you can keep them there. I hate that guy. Get rid of that, man. I hate that guy. Get rid of it. Yeah, but you don't know what she did to me. Don't matter. Get him out. Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good. Wait a second, didn't we already read that? Why? Why would he say it in verse 10 and verse 23? Because it's important, that's why, of course. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? Let me tell you something. If you're here and you're about 7 to 10 years old in the Lord, anywhere in that area, 7 to 10 years old, this crazy thing happens. You start to understand the sovereignty of God just a little bit. And you start to look for the meaning in everything that happens. Like the craziest thing happened. In one day, we got a phone call from this person and a phone call from that person. and somehow they were interconnected. What is the Lord trying to show me? You can drive yourself absolutely bat crap crazy doing that, guys. Every single day. Why did God do this? And why did God do this? And is there a time to really consider that stuff? Absolutely. Ask the Lord. Spend some time in prayer about it. But you will drive yourself nuts if you try to find the reason for everything that's happened in your life that God... This verse was such a comfort to me because I was that guy. You know, this morning I read chapter 7, Matthew 42nd verse, and I was in Psalm, and if you add those numbers up, it comes out to... Always like that. Always like that. But my Psalm was this, and... Now, some of that stuff is true. Like, I'll give you a for instance. John Cinelli one time came up to see me, and he said, I have a Bible verse for you. And I was like, you know, speak it. And he said, in Isaiah, it says, I have anointed you to preach the book. I was like, I read that in Luke this morning. That was what's called a word of confirmation. God was foreshadowing. He was foretelling me. He was using John Cinelli to predict the future, to prophesy over me. Absolutely. Ironclad, no doubt about it. But you can drive yourself nuts. Why? Because a man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? Like, if it's driving you crazy, guys, give yourself a couple of breathers, okay? It is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterward reconsider his vows. Let me tell you how this came to pass in my life. When me and my wife were, we bought our first house. It was up in West Palm, right off of Lake Worth Road in a turnpike. And I had an acre backyard. I had made it. I thought this was it. We paid $147,500 for this house. And we thought, man, that's it. I've had more than anybody ever imagined. I took bricks. There was bricks in the backyard, a stack of bricks. And I made these bricks in the backyard, and I made them in all this little pattern. It was about a 2-foot square. And I said, every day I'm going to come out here and pray right on these bricks. And I made it. I remember sitting there looking up, Scott, God, I don't think I did that 3 times. There was bugs out there. The weeds grew through. I didn't know how that worked. You know what I mean? I rashly devoted something as holy. And then afterward, I had to reconsider these vows. He said, go slow before you. Like, don't be such in a rush. This is going to be our tradition. Like, speedy, go slow. You follow? There's probably better... examples of that in your life, but that's how this verse, because every time I read this verse, I think about this brick thing I did, and it's like, oh, it's such an idiot. I had this whole moment with God. God, this is going to, God, and I'm sure God was in heaven like, no, you're not. No, really. This is going to be my place. You gave me this house, backyard. This is going to be holy ground. No, it's not. Your dog is going to be peeing on it next week. No, he's not. Never. My kids used to have this thing we called poop patrol because my dog, I had this dog named Ugg, and he'd poop all over the yard, and I'd tell the girl, okay, poop patrol, because my son would run around the yard and step in the poop. So they'd have to go around the yard and clean up, and they'd throw it on the fence line. One day I went over there, there's like 6 piles of poop on the spot I rashly devoted as holy to God. I was like, sorry. I knew you were going to do that. A wise king sifts out the wicked and brings the threshing wheel over them. A wise king sifts out the wicked and brings the threshing wheel over them. You know what a threshing wheel is? So they have wheat, and wheat grows this stalk and then this head, and then on it is the wheat that they actually grind to make flour. And a wheel, you would put the stalk or the head in there, and you grind it, and it would help you make the powder out of the good stuff, and the chaff, you'd lift up this sheet or screen, and the wind would blow the chaff away. He says, that's how you need to be with the wicked. And every single government or country that lets the wicked around them and keeps them Man, is that the downfall of our nation right now? This old, tired man that we elected king, he's surrounded by wickedness. He doesn't even, listen, who's pulling this guy's strings? You guys hear about the new one now? Illegal aliens are going to get $450,000. Yes. Up to $1 million per family if President Trump separated you from your kids. $450,000 a person, up to $1 million per family. And one of the newspapers said, one guy said to him, excuse me, President Biden, what about this thing that you're going to give for? He goes, that's trash. Where did you hear that's trash? And the next day, somebody snatched him up and straightened him. And the next, literally the next day, he was like, well, people deserve some kind of... Somebody's pulling this guy's strings. You know what a smart ruler would do? Bring the threshing wheel over them wicked. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Verse 27 is very interesting. It's very good information here, and it's very important to know this. Your spirit is to be filled with God's love. You need to be asking God to fill your spirit with him. Every single day, give us this day our daily bread. God is your daily bread. He is the showbread. He is the manna. He is the hidden manna. He's the bread which came down from heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Ain't just this, guys. And why is that important? And why is that dangerous? I remember sitting in church and looking up at the pastor and hoping someday I can be that holy. I wish one day I can be like that guy, man. Like, I'm sure he doesn't even, like, go to the bathroom. And he used to always say, you know, don't follow me. Don't follow me. Follow Christ. And, like, I want you to know, the more God lights your spirit with his love, the fouler you know that you, the worse you know you are. I don't sit up here and well, let me explain. I'm the pastor here. It's like, guys, if you knew, the things that my heart utters, the horror that my mind imagines, it's just, the more your spirit searches the inner depths of your heart, the more wicked you realize you are. So you never condescend. You never, man, what do we say? I'm just a beggar telling another beggar where to get some bread, right? Remember that. The holier you get, the more you set yourself apart, the more you realize your humanity and how bad it is. So don't condemn yourself. The Bible, what does the Bible say? And it's, I love this correlating verse. In 1 John, it says, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. And he knows all things. Your heart's always going to condemn you because your spirit is ever searching the depths and the chambers of your heart, looking for wickedness, looking for illness that he wants to shed light on. All of the things, listen, he who made the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He knows your thoughts. He knows everything you've done. He loves you even that much. Finishing up. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness he upholds his throne. Very good book. I highly recommend it. It's called A Tale of Three Kings. What made David so special was that from the time David was just a little boy out in the field singing songs to God till the time he was the king over all Israel, he never changed who he was. He never allowed himself to become like Saul. He never was a lording leader. He was always a loving leader. That's what's so important about mercy and truth preserve the king. And by loving it, you know how many kings and heads of nations obey this verse? That many. Well, let's say that many. the Lord Jesus and David. And we know David's struggles were well documented. The glory of young men is their strength. The splendor of old men is their gray head. Whatever. I don't want a splendor. You know how many people say to me, you know you should use Grecian Formula 16? Like, shut up.
You worked hard for them.
That's right. One of my favorite, Ken Graves, one of the first times I seen him preach a message, he was preaching at a pastor's conference. And Ken Graves, if you know, his hair is kind of blonde with gray in it. And he said, somebody asked him, do you color your hair? And he looked at me and says, no, that would be gay. And the place at the time was so, oh, are you allowed to say that from the pulpit? And you know, Ken, he don't have a whole lot of filter. At least back then, he had even less. No, that would be gay. Why don't I color my hair? That would be gay. Johnny, what are you going to say about something? Johnny was going to say something. He raised his hand. Thought he had something to say about. Last one. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Guys, I mean this sincerely. And we talked about it last week at the prayer meeting. There's nothing like a good cry. One of the ways that I know I've gotten old is when I used to go to the gym and I was in my 40s, a hard day at the gym, like grinding and like grappling and trying to kill somebody, have somebody kill you. And when you put out everything you have, it feels so good. Afterward, you're on the mat and you're just, oh, this is so good. Now, it don't feel good. I know I'm going to be walking like this later. It's not going to stop me. But what does that have to do with this verse? Listen. I want to give you guys a suggestion. And I don't think anybody here couldn't do this. I want you to get your phone. Get some Rita Springer. Get a pair of earbuds or iPod, whatever you're going to call them. Put them in your ears. And I want you to go for a run. And I want you to run until you can't run anymore, until your lungs are burning, your heart is racing, and let that music blare in your ears until there's nothing. I mean, do it at 2:00 in the morning on the beach and watch God speak to you, because blows that hurt, they cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Sometimes it just, we've lost this art, guys. We've lost this hard work thing. You read stories in the Bible about men dying in the field from not having water, and like nobody is in danger of that anymore. Like, one of the greatest things about this new generation that's coming up, this generation of MMA wannabe fighters, man, they know what hard work is. They know what hard work is. And I love it. I love it. You know, you see, do hard things, right? Me and Joey went out to lunch the other day, and he was like, hard work? Zero. Joey, pre-Marine Corps, post-Marine Corps. Tell a story one time. He was in, was it Fallujah? Not Fallujah. Where was that where you had to spend there 3 weeks with one set of clothes? Whatever he said. He was supposed to go there and load up, set up some kind of sandbag wall or something. So they get there and they're told they gotta just be there for one or two days, so he didn't pack a whole lot of stuff in his ruck. He's only going to be there for a couple of days. How many days were you there? 3 weeks. Sleeping under a hallway. Bombs going off literally 20, 30 yards from him. And they had to... How many bags of sand did you throw up on this wall? Hey man, you wanna help me in the yard? No problem. That's forging of men and women. Anyway, chapter 21 next week. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We are definitely indicted by the weakness of our flesh, but we are definitely instructed by the wonder of your spirit, God. May anybody that's here have gotten anything from this that they feel is instruction from you, God, I ask you to solidify that it was from you or wash it away if it wasn't, God. Thank you so much for the wisdom of your word, Lord Jesus. As I always say, I can read it again tomorrow and it'll be something completely different to me, God, and I love that about your word. So please may the study of your word always be more of a tantalizing to just study it some more. Thank you, God. We love you, and we appreciate what you're trying to do in our lives, God. May we not resist. May we resist the devil that he would flee from us, but receive the power of your spirit upon us in the name and for the glory of the kingdom of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.